Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to this week's episode of The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon. With me, my good friend, NFL draft analyst, Ryan Roberts. And today we've got a guest NFL draft analyst, the lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, Trevor Sikkema. You can find him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. Trevor, we appreciate you taking the time to hop on with us. We were just talking a little bit of the loose overview of this class, talking a little ball. How has this process been for you so far? Are you excited for draft day to come around?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I mean, this class has given us a lot of things to talk about. We were talking about it a little bit before we hit record, but it's so loaded at the premium positions. You know, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive tackle, pass rusher, corner. There's so many of those cornerstone players that you look at the positions that they play and say, okay, these are the types of players that you would covet in the first round. And because of that, you've got 8, 9, 10 offensive linemen in some mock drafts. You know, you got 5 quarterbacks in mock drafts. You got all sorts of wide receivers throughout the top 100 through the first 3 rounds. And so it's been exciting. You know, it's a lot more fun when you have this plethora of talented players to say, okay, this team could use this. And it's not necessarily, oh, yeah, I guess they could draft this player and, you know, maybe he'll fill the hole for them. It's okay, they're going to draft this player and he might be a star for them at this certain position. So that's what's made the evaluation, the mock drafts, the conversation, everything great, because this class is pretty loaded.
Speaking on the mock drafts, one of the biggest, most trending things right now is where JJ McCarthy lands. I kind of sit in the camp where it reminds me so much of what happened with Will Levis last year. Now, I don't think that JJ McCarthy goes that late. He's still going to be a first rounder and he's still probably going to go early. How would you assess the temperature on the JJ McCarthy hype? Are you in that you think he's going to be for sure? Actually, top 4 is where we're kind of landing right now. But mm-hmm. Do you think there's any possibility he goes earlier than that?
It sounds like there's a chance, which is, I mean, wild, kind of. I mean, I think that JJ is a good player. You know, I gave him a late first, early second round grade. I respect the improvement that he made from 2022 to 2023. You look at how young he is. You look at how successful he has been. And I don't just mean the wins, you know, the QB wins as a stat kind of a thing. I mean, just generally, like command of the offense, how they expanded what he did in 2022, opened it up a little bit for him to have a little bit more control, a little bit more input and a little bit more impact in 2023. I think that would have gotten even better. Let's say JJ McCarthy is not in this class. Let's say everybody would have basically returned to Michigan. I think you see a lot more of those 300-yard passing games that people were missing on his scouting report right now. I think you see a lot more of those next year. So just because we didn't see it this year, I don't think that that doesn't mean he's not capable of it. He throws over the middle of the field beautifully. He's getting better at his feel for the pocket. He's pretty good at going through progressions. He's good in a play-action offense as well. He's comfortable under center, although they do a lot of stuff in the shotgun like every single offense in college football does these days. But I really do think that the hype for him is more tangible than it was for Will Levis last year. The Levis hype was sort of out of nowhere, you know what I'm saying? Like 48 hours before the draft started, all of a sudden his odds to go number two overall in Vegas just skyrocketing. You went, whoa, okay, what's going on here? What, is this real? Because we all know Vegas ain't in the business of losing money, so they're not just going to skyrocket the odds for no reason. But I think for McCarthy, it's been more of a slow burn. The more that we hear from NFL teams, the more he is in that conversation with those other top three quarterbacks. And so I do think that I'll say top six to be safe with the Giants picking there at number six and us being past the Cardinals at four and the Chargers at five. I'd say that all four of these guys go off the board by pick six.
It's going to be super interesting to watch, especially because there are a couple teams even outside of those top six that we've generally talked about with quarterbacks that are huge trade-up candidates. You know, I mean, obviously Minnesota clearly getting the ammo to move up that we've talked about over the last few weeks. Also, you can't discount the Denver Broncos maybe being a little bit desperate, you know, picking a number 12. I would even say the Las Vegas Raiders at 13 might be a trade-up candidate potentially. If there is a team that is either in the top six or could potentially trade up for J.J. McCarthy, let's say, is there a team that you would feel best about drafting him as a potential best fit?
I know that this is common for mock drafts, so I'm not just trying to take the easy way out, but I really do think that him getting to work with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota's system, and more importantly, Minnesota's timeline to me feels great. Like, this is not a team that is going to demand that he play really, really well right away. One, you sign Sam Darnold, which I like the Sam Darnold signing because McCarthy doesn't have to go out there in week one. You've got faith that this is a guy who, you know, I mean, look at Darnold's situation too. Sometimes when you sign a veteran, like I look at Marcus Mariota's situation in Washington, and I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of contention there just because, like, Mariota, he's not quite like this veteran guy. I don't know if he's really like, hey, you know, I'm here to just groom the next guy. Like, I think he wants to start play football games. For Sam Darnold, this is genuinely a tryout for him, right? For the rest of the league. Like, for however long he gets to start while we assume the rookie quarterback is going to sit behind him. Let's say it's J.J. McCarthy. Darnold's going to give it his best effort. Like, Darnold is going to go out there and be like, I'm playing for my next team. I'm playing for my next contract. And it's not necessarily at that level of competition and wanting to play. That doesn't take away from McCarthy. And so I like that quarterback situation there for them anyways, that you don't have to start him right away. And I really just like that, you know, Kevin O'Connell coming from Sean McVay's stuff, coming from Sean McVay's system, a lot of condensed stuff, more what people would describe as like pro style, I guess, although pro style is so different today than what we would have explained it even 5 years ago. You have Justin Jefferson, who I don't think is going anywhere. And obviously that's a great asset for any young quarterback, but the system, the quarterback, the timeline of the team, the quarterback room overall, I really like if J.J. McCarthy could land in Minnesota, because I think it gives him the best timeline to succeed.
Joe, I know you mentioned, and I think, Trevor, you mentioned the odds of Will Levis last year, but there was a recent kind of movement in the market where it feels like J.J. McCarthy is trending so far up that Drake May continues just kind of trickle down a little bit. Let me ask you this, Trevor, because this is a fascinating one. Are you buying that J.J. McCarthy will be selected before Drake May? Are you there on that one yet? Because it seems like that's
too spicy for me.
It seems like it's kind of becoming there, though, Joe. It feels like that's the market a little bit. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Joe. That's too spicy for me personally, but I'm not making the picks, right? And we know that the NFL kind of just does what it wants, and it only takes one team to really love J.J. McCarthy that much to take him over Drake May, right? I think that we as a society have a bad tendency to be like, oh, look at him. He got drafted 10th overall. I guess the league was really high on him. Well, not necessarily, right? I mean, like, we could have had this argument with when Daniel Jones went 6th overall. You go, wow, well, the league thought that Daniel Jones was a top 10 pick. No, Dave Gettleman thought that Daniel Jones was a top 10 pick, and most of the rest of the league probably did not. And so I think that with JJ, I think that there could still be a lot of teams that like Drake May over him, but maybe it's the one team that's trading up that really, again, like if it's Minnesota sitting here, maybe they just love the dude. Maybe they love the youth of JJ McCarthy is one of the youngest players in this draft class. So I'm not totally there yet that it happens.
Yeah.
But it is going from, we're moving from, wow, that's weird. Some people are lower on Drake May to, I think the league as a whole might be lower on Drake May. I mean, I think we're looking at Drake May right now, and to me, we're nitpicking his issue. Sure, like, okay, is the throwing motion always as clean? Is the footwork always as clean? No, but for goodness sake, we're talking about this with so many different prospects. You coach the guy up, right? I mean, like, you can fix a lot of those things. I think when you look at Drake May, the intangibles, the what you cannot teach, the arm talent, the velocity, just the ability to hit throws outside the numbers, between the numbers. He's so experienced over the middle. All that's how is that not trumping what you are looking at with some inconsistent fundamentals? I'm so blown away that we're here at this point with Drake May.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, where the game starts. See, that's the thing for me, is that we give all of this grace to JJ McCarthy, and we talk about JJ McCarthy as being, and they're both very gifted athletes. It's not like one is supremely more gifted than the other, but all we talk about with JJ is that this is a high ceiling prospect. This is a guy, you give him some time, he's going to develop. And then I feel like the commentary on Drake May has been, he's too raw. He's going to be messy when he steps into the league, and he's got all these issues. I just don't understand why there's like these completely different narratives that are being pushed for these guys. When again, they're both young, they're both raw, they're still developing, and they're both eventually going to get there if they get in the right system.
Yeah, and I think I look at the Jaden Daniels conversation as well, like throwing in Jaden Daniels' situation even beyond JJ McCarthy's. I think everybody loves the fact that Jaden Daniels has had a very linear progression, like from his time at Arizona State to his first year at LSU to what we saw this past year. People like, let's not make a mistake. Jaden Daniels has had the best production of anybody in 2023, right? I mean, he won the Heisman Trophy. Like, if you're just looking at 2023, sure, I can understand why you're absolutely loving Jaden Daniels. And I like him too. I think he's a good quarterback. But it's almost like people don't remember sophomore tape Drake May. And they only look at junior year tape Drake May. And just because it was not as good, not as consistent as the year before. And guys, it really, I don't think the difference was that big. For some reason, people look at this most recent tape and go, no, that's the real Drake May. And you go, wait a second. Okay, is 2022 the real Jaden Daniels? No. Like, so you're going to use that argument for one quarterback, but you're not going to give the other one the grace. It's very strange to me. I think that all these guys are really talented, but we seem to be jumping through a lot of hoops and not really holding these guys to the same standard with what I hear from what it sounds like maybe the NFL thinks of these guys.
Jaden Daniels is an interesting one. He's been linked to Washington at number two, obviously, to the Commanders. And I think that the parallels make sense. You know, you're a Cliff Kingsbury-led offense who has typically loved athletic quarterbacks, has typically loved guys that win more on the outside than to the true to the middle of the field. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Are you buying, I guess, that is the best fit potentially with Jaden, and one that realistically probably will happen as of right now?
Yeah, in terms of fit, I really do like that the most. I think that Drake May is the better quarterback. I have him at QB2 in this class, but you know, when you talk about fit and landing spot, I'd love to see Jaden Daniels get to work with Cliff Kingsbury in Washington. You mentioned it's a lot of vertical stuff. It's a lot of outside the number stuff. It's exactly what Jaden was doing when he was at LSU. It's going to be a pretty smooth transition. You know, if you go to more of an offense that wants you to attack over the middle, and let's be clear, you got to attack over the middle still to succeed in the NFL. Like, that's a big, I would say, category of quarterback evaluation that I consistently look at. How are you over the middle? Drake May was fantastic over the middle. JJ McCarthy was also very good over the middle. but there are some quarterbacks in this class. You know, Michael Penix is one of them. Jaden Daniels is one of them. They just don't have a lot of experience. They weren't asked to throw over the middle, and reading over the middle of the field, putting touch on passes, layering it over the linebackers in between the safeties, all that kinds of stuff. This is a different game than just uncorking it to those slot fades and those nine routes that are outside the number. So more of that involved with Cliff Kingsbury for sure. So I think if I was picking a landing spot for Jaden, as much as I would be taking Drake May number two myself, because I think he's the better quarterback, that one does make the most sense for him if he's going to go to a place that's in that top six.
Well, I had a follow-up about Jaden too, because me and Joe have talked about this a ton, Trevor. It's like, so Jaden Daniels, just from a frame perspective for a second, right? Like, he at his pro day, he weighed in at 210 pounds, which was a great thing to see. But we know that he was mostly in the 180s, 190s at Arizona State. He played more in the 200 to 205 pound range the last 2 years at LSU. So he is a smaller framed guy as far as a 6'3" plus guy, only 200, 205 pounds. It's a little bit of a light dude. And if Washington drafts him, whether it's right or wrong, a lot of fans are going to be like RG3 flashbacks, right? Like, oh no, running quarterback who got banged up. Durability was a major concern. Now, much different frame, obviously. Are you worried at all just about his frame translating to the next level, being able to sustain hits? Because I feel like he did a better job at the end of the year, being able to, you know, avoid a lot of that punishment that he took. But it is still obviously a concern when you're jumping from college to the NFL.
Oh, by the way, there's no way he's 210 pounds, by the way. His car keys were totally in his pocket. As somebody who did that during a workout when I was trying to make a jump, his car keys or something was in his pocket. There's no way he's 210 pounds.
Yeah, the biggest iPhone that you could find is just like sitting in, like, he's got like an iPad probably attached to his hip or something. He's got a full wallet just stacked with ones just in his back pocket or whatever it is.
I did the same shit. You drink the whole gallon of water the night before. I did the same exact thing.
No, so look, I do agree with your point. Like, protecting himself and staying healthy are major parts of maximizing that skill set that we all talk about with him, right? I think that everybody will be like, oh, Jaden Daniels, best dual threat quarterback in the class. And it's like, okay, sure, but he's also, it feels like, one of the worst at protecting himself. And so you don't want to just say he's going to be RG3, because RG3 obviously had a really unfortunate knee injury that derailed what was, I mean, a great rookie campaign for him. So you're not going to say like that's going to happen with him, but it is sort of a concern when you talk about a player who, even at 210, I think that that's like 14th percentile for the quarterback position. So, I mean, like, even at 210, so like, if you believe that he was chugging water before the pro day, like, a lot of that is water weight. If you believe that the 210 was rock solid, that's 14th percentile for the NFL level. So it's something you got to think about no matter what.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To move off the quarterback talk, I know it's, I'm sure probably from your perspective, every time you do a guest spot, it certainly dominates the discussion. It's been the case for me too. I'd love to hear some of your just favorite guys in the class, as two guys here with me and Ryan that just love to share the random dudes that we found on day two or day three. Who are like maybe two guys that you just love to talk about? And then maybe the ones that aren't generally like the big ones that keep getting discussed.
Okay. You said to give like two. I'm going to give five because like a lot of these guys. So I'm going to go rapid fire with it and give you five. Javon Bullard from Georgia. Give me this dude. Okay. You cannot get on the field at Georgia as an underclassman unless you are, full pun intended, an absolute dog. He played in the slot because they wanted to get this guy on the field as a true sophomore. I thought he played it very, very well. This past year, he played more of a safety spot because Tyke Smith came in and played full-time slot. I actually like Javon Bullard probably more as a slot corner, but you know he's got that versatility. He could play a little bit as a box safety for you. He's smaller, but he's fast. He's feisty, pound for pound. He's a dense dude, and he will tackle you. I am not afraid about the physical nature of playing in the slot when it comes to this guy because he is willing to do it, and that's why Georgia put him on the field. I love Javon Bullard. I think he's a second round pick for sure. Jermaine Burton, the wide receiver from Alabama. The only reason why I have to imagine we're not talking about this guy is a little bit of a hothead. So I wonder if people in the NFL are kind of like not really hyping him up because maybe they're worried that he's a little bit out of control. You know, he's a player that plays very emotional. He's just very fiery, but that competitiveness also shows up between the whistle. And when he is getting off the line of scrimmage and fighting for space at the catching point. And I just think he is so explosive. He's already got so many different releases that he can get off the line of scrimmage with to beat press. His hands are fast. His feet are fast. He's a great route runner. I think, again, off film alone, second round pick for me. Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver from Washington. He is somebody who I think is really slept on in this class. Washington's offense, despite having Romo Dunze and Jalen Polk, continuously schemed touches up for Jalen McMillan over the last 2 years. I think that speaks volumes to how talented he is. He is a very smart, savvy player, understands how to win from the slot, win with those two-way goes, find those soft spots in coverage, and get those yards after catch. He is just such a smart, dependable football player. There's a lot of good slot receivers in this class, but Jalen McMillan, to me, gets forgotten way too much, and I think he can be a really, really good player at the NFL. At the running back spot, Bucky Irving, running back from Oregon. I love Bucky Irving, man. I get it. He's small. He's not the best athlete in the world, but he's a playmaker. The one cut ability is fantastic. Maybe, I might get burned on this one. He might just not be big enough or a good enough athlete to succeed at the NFL level, but his two stats that we absolutely love at PFF that try to give individual kudos or concerns to running backs outside of their offensive line, because that's the thing, right? Everybody goes like, oh yeah, a great running back production, but it's because of the offensive line in front of them. So how do you try to separate the running back from the offensive line in front of them? Two stats that we have at PFF: missed tackles forced per attempt, that just shows how often you are in space and you are making guys miss and you are continuing to get yards, and then yards after contact as well. So obviously if the offensive line doesn't do their job and you have to take yard or you have to take a hit early, how many yards are you getting after contact? Whether that's at the second level, whether that's at the line of scrimmage, whether that's in the backfield, what is your average there? Bucky Irving, very high percentiles in both of those categories over the last 2 years. So that's an efficient football player, somebody that I want on my football team. And then the last guy that I'll mention, somebody that I've been high on, I feel like, since this summer. Now he's gaining a lot of steam in NFL draft circles, is Christian Haynes, the interior offensive lineman from UConn. He had a really good Senior Bowl, and I think since then a lot of people have been talking about him, but I think this dude has been just a rock of a starter for them at the guard position at UConn over the last 3 or 4 years. I think he can play center as well, got really good movement skills, really good power player. I think that his floor is high enough to be able to play in any sort of run blocking scheme that you want. There's a lot of teams in the NFL that are close to 50-50, but if you love smash mouth football, a little bit more of those duo blocks, things up the middle between the tackles, then he's got the strength to do it. And then when it comes to getting on the hoof, exploding off of that foot, getting out in zone, whether it's inside zone, mid zone, outside zone, I think that he has the athleticism to be able to do that as well. So those are five players who, outside of round one, that I think would be my guys in this class, if you will.
Joe is a Christian Haynes truther, so I know that last one really touches heart there, man.
Let's go.
Really touches heart. Can I say this, though?
Early on him. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So two thoughts about your list, Trevor. It was a great list, by the way. So one is Bucky Irving's situation gives me a lot of Kyren Williams vibes, where I'm just like, yes, he does. He's an outlier by every account, but also like the film, right? Like the film is still there. It's still tangibly out there. And he did a lot of the little things that I think is really why he has become such a great player for the Los Angeles Rams, obviously, this past year. And then I just want to throw this one out here, Joe, because I just gave you a kudos for being a truther of Christian Haynes. Javon Bullard truther as well right here, sir.
Let's go.
Been since the summer.
I love that. I love that.
All right. Well, that's it for us on today's interview, Ryan. I don't think you nothing else that you want to ask here.
Can you give us one player if you can, just real quick? I mean, you could rattle off five again if you wanted to. It's totally up to you. But is there one player that you might be maybe just a little bit lower on comparative to the media consensus right now? Mm. Maybe not even NFL-wise.
It's Chop Robinson from Penn State. A lot of people look at Chop Robinson and look, dude is an absolute animal of an athlete, a unicorn of an athlete in so many different ways. I mean, the 40-yard dash, the vertical, the broad, the explosiveness and the speed that he has at 255 pounds is jaw-dropping. And it's a league where you draft athletes and you try to figure things out after that. But with Chop Robinson, you look at how athletic this guy is. I'm going a little bit against PFF here, so this is a little bit sacrilegious for me because his pass rush grades over the last 2 years have been really good. His backfield production, the sacks, the tackle for loss, not nearly what you would think it would be for being the caliber athlete that he is and the high elite pass rush grades that he has had over the last couple of years. And so for me, normally when you have these crazy athletic guys, it's normally some sort of technique. Like they don't have a lot of pass rush moves, just the pass rush plan isn't there. They don't know what to do with their hands. They've got false steps off the line of scrimmage. For Chop Robinson, it's more physical, actually. I think that the short arms really prohibit like how well he can actually get into offensive tackles, separate from them, give them a little push-pull, get off of blocks, block shed, all that kinds of stuff. And then when it comes to his ability to get up the arc and off the line of scrimmage out of his stance, he is explosive as hell. There's no doubt about it. But he's got like these short, choppy strides. And it's like it's like he's not getting up the field. You see the legs churning and you go, whoa, this dude's moving for 250. But he's not covering the ground. He doesn't have those long strides where it only takes you maybe two strides to just get even hip to hip with the offensive tackle. And the next move is either a club rip or you're dipping around the shoulder or something. It's like it takes him five steps to get even. And offensive tackles can sometimes recover just because they'll kick slide a little bit deeper for it. So with Robinson, he's an incredible athlete, but I see people saying you have to take an athlete like this in the top 20 and in the top 15. He's ranked in the 40s on my board. He's ranked in the high 40s. Like I think this is somebody who you can't let his athletic potential get past the second round. Like that's too good for me. Even if what you see is what you get, like sometimes that's going to win at the NFL level. He's just too good of an athlete. But I don't see this caliber player who wins like Eli Atulatu does, or even a Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. And I think that too many people are carried away with the, yeah, he's just a crazy athlete. You just draft him. I think there's genuine limitations to how effective he's going to be as a backfield player. And I think that you saw that in the stat sheet for him over the last 2 years.
There's a couple guys that, and I was, when I was in Indianapolis with Ryan, that like I kept bringing up as like the ball knower type of a prospect, depending on how you sit on them. And the argument that you just made there for Chop Robinson is one of those guys for me that like, if you for some reason don't want to bring up the inconsistencies that he shows on film. And the other thing too, is like, he's not really built to defend the run. Like that's my biggest concern. You brought up all these pass rush concerns, but that's not a guy I want to put on the field for three downs as a rookie. That's not something. So I really like that pick. I feel like not a lot of people are super willing to go against the consensus on Chop Robinson. But Trevor, this was awesome. It was great getting to catch up with you and to prepare for the 2024 NFL draft and to get your thoughts, especially on this quarterback class. Thank you so much for joining us at Tampa Bay Trey on Twitter. Anything else that you're looking to plug? You mentioned earlier that you've got your draft guide almost finalized and ready to go.
Yeah, PFF draft guide. It's always evolving. We're going to have version 2 coming out, which is going to have over 200 prospects in it. And then hopefully we'll get to 250, 275, maybe even get to 300 before draft weekend rolls around. So that's over at PFF.com. And then obviously all of your listeners and viewers, after you watch this wonderful show, if you want to come out and hang out with myself and Connor Rogers on the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, we'd be glad to have you.
Thanks so much, everybody. We'll be back with more.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.